It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den. We'll start it off with this is my blog for the weekend. It was a damn fine blog, too. I expect you all did the right thing and read it. So here we go. Then we go to Michigan. Two Michigan students are suing their... Oh, I got to play the School of Fools bumper. Damn it! How do you go to school? How do you go to school and not play your School of Fools bumper? That's the whole reason it's there. I ruined almost everything. Damn it.
We're going to have to get a Bumpers or Us.
There's no... They went out of business.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah, just like everything else. Hold on.
Like Bed Bath and Bankrupt.
Ring around the rosy, bucket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
All right, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by myself. Two Michigan students are suing their school district for not letting them wear sweatshirts to class bearing the political slogan, "Let's go, Brandon," a popular euphemism for a profane curse word toward President Joe Biden. The middle schoolers argue they have a right to protest the President of the United States. The school district maintains the sweatshirts are vulgar and it has a right to prohibit such material. Now it's time to play the feud. Sounds like BS, counter the students, their mom and their lawyers who have nothing better to do. Criticism of the president's core political speech protected by the First Amendment. Attorney Connor Fitzpatrick said in a statement Tuesday, whether it's a Biden sticker, Let's Go Brandon, Brandon sweatshirt, or Gay Pride t-shirt, schools can't pick and choose which political beliefs students can express. Fitzpatrick, an attorney with the Foundation for Individual Rights and Go Fuck Yourself, filed a lawsuit Tuesday in U.S. District... What? No, that's what it says. You don't believe me? That's what it says.
No, I know.
That's what it says. In U.S. District...
I just forgot.
In Grand Rapids against the Tri-County Area Schools on behalf of two brothers and their mother who argue the students' constitutional rights have been violated. The school district is in western Michigan, about 30 miles north of... Grand Rapids. Specifically, the lawsuit alleges that last year, two brothers wore Let's Go Brandon sweatshirts to the Tri-County Middle School in Howard City, but an assistant principal and a teacher ordered the students to remove the shirts slowly. According to lawsuits, the assistant principal told one of the boys that his sweatshirt was the equivalent to the F word. The lawsuit notes that the slogan "Let's Go Brandon" originated at an October 2021 NASCAR race in Talladega, Alabama. Driver Brandon Brown won the race and was being interviewed live when the crowd started chanting "F Joe Biden, fuck Joe Biden." The TV interviewer, dealing with the awkward on-air moment, said the fans were shouting "Let's Go Brandon" and a merchandising bonanza was begun. Thank you, interviewer. Yep. The slogan went viral and has since become a popular form of political commentary. Is it really commentary? I don't really know if it's commentary. Appearing on t-shirts and bumper stickers and is chanted at right-leaning rallies, the lawsuit says, and at family dinners. Even members of Congress have used the phrase during speeches on the House floor, the suit states. Yet no one has been censored or punished. That says more about our politicians than anything. The slogan, "Let's Go Brandon," conveys the same opposition to President Biden, as sanitized to express the sentiment without using profanity or vulgarity, the lawsuit states, adding the slogan is not lewd, profane, indecent, vulgar, or obscene, unless your name is Brandon and you don't feel like going. The school district disagrees. You know, for stationary Brandons, this whole thing is a problem. I don't want to go. I can't go. Leave me be. The school... Nobody thinks about the Brandons. I'm the only one who thinks about the Brandons. That's where the lawsuit should be.
The tired, the lethargic Brandons, the veal Brandons.
Yes! Those are the people I am worried about. being pushed
lethargic
in...
Brandon.
Lethargic Brandon. It was the least popular Garbage Pail Kid, but still should be remembered and honored nonetheless.
Brandon, you want to get a bite, Chief? Yeah, I guess. Well,
all right. Why does your brand? Why does your Brandon sound like Evan? All right, I'll leave that for just for Joe, and I'll move on. That was just for Joe.
The same thing.
That was just for you, pal.
Now I'm gonna hear his shit. It's freaking alibi. Why'd you make fun of me on the fucking show?
I'll own it. I don't give a shit. In late May, so the school district disagrees. That's why you have a lawsuit, kids. In late May 2022, following the sweatshirt incidents marked in history of the school, the great sweatshirt incidents of 2022, there were sweat stains and political phrases, but were they lewd? Who knows?
I wish I had Carl.
You're being lewd.
That's not Let's Go, Brandon. That Joe, that's not Let's Go, Brandon. You just made lascivious Brandon. We don't like that. That's creepy.
Yeah. Let's be creepy, Brandon.
Yeah. So in late May 2020.
You look really ravishing tonight. I wish I had some pearls to clutch.
I just don't like how he leans closer, like he's gonna come at us.
That's I know.
You gotta be creepy. You gotta get into the. You gotta get into the personal zone.
Even worse after he's just been sitting there going nude. Ew.
In late May 2022, following the sweatshirt incidents, lawyers wrote the school district a letter and threatened litigation if the ban was not dropped. The district stuck to its prohibition. In June 9, 2022, letter and attorney for the Tri-County Area Schools explained why Let's Go Brandon sweatshirts aren't allowed, noting the district prohibits clothing or styles of expression that are vulgar or profane. The commonly known meaning of the slogan, Let's Go Brandon, is intended to ridicule the president with profanity. You pony soldier. At least one of the students has acknowledged knowing what the slogan means, and as a simple Google search confirms, the slogan means fuck Joe Biden. Clark Hill attorney Kara T. Rosen wrote in the letter noting that the slogan even comes with its own Wikipedia page, which unequivocally confirms the slogan's vulgar meaning. Well, if it's on Wikipedia, kids, if it's immortalized on Wikipedia... Jesus, is that where our education or our legal system is? But I saw it on the Wikipedia. Ugh.
Yes.
Rosen further argued that the district does not prohibit students from the right to express their political views or from wearing clothing with political slogans. However, the lawyer added the student codes on conduct and attire prohibit language or clothing containing language that is offensive, vulgar, or profane. Let's Go, Brandon. Is a transparent code for using profanity against the president, the letter said. The district would similarly prohibit other clothing that has the intent to use profane language against other individuals, as would be contrary to the district's educational mission. Rosen wrote in the letter, which she closed by stating, "Be advised that the district is prepared to vigorously defend against any such threatened litigation and will diligently pursue with equal vigor all legal recourses against frivolous litigation." I got to tell you, I love all the adverbs. It's very exciting.
I know. They're really good.
Yes. Good for them. I don't know if they're going to win this lawsuit, but their English department is excellent.
Yes.
10 months.
Like Jackie Childs, the lawyer from Seinfeld.
Yes. Yes, you're right. 10 months later, a lawsuit was filed. The lawsuit involves two brothers identified only as D.A. for dumbass, who is in seventh grade, and X.A. as an extra asshole, who is now a high school freshman. What? No? Okay. According to their lawsuit, here is what drove them to sue. What drove them to sue? We were left with nothing more to do. We must wear these sweatshirts. It's in our family crest. We've been Let's Going Brandon from the beginning of our heritage. Back in old jolly England, where our family is from, they chanted Let's Go Brandon. As the pilgrims left on the Mayflower, they stood behind and yelled at them, Let's Go Brandon, to which Brandon rode. Pretty sure that's how it happened. Pretty sure that's how it all went.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm good with the history and the such. In February 2022, DA wore his Let's Go Brandon sweatshirt to Tri-County Middle School when the assistant principal stopped him in a hallway and instructed him to remove the shirt slowly, telling him it was the equivalent to the F word. DA complied. A few weeks later, DA wore the shirt again in school because he likes being topless. But a teacher stopped him in the hallway and instructed him to remove it slowly. Allegedly threatening punishment. Ooh, if he didn't comply. A spanking, perhaps? Take that sweatshirt off! Slowly, the teacher allegedly told him. I've told you before.
You won't comply? I'll take it off of you.
Slowly. I've told you before, and I won't tell you again unless you wear it again, and then I will tell you again. But I won't tell you again. It's like making America great again. I won't tell you again. DA asked why. The teacher replied the sweatshirt was not permitted, so he removed it slowly, fearing but secretly craving punishment.
Oh, God.
What now?
The worst, creepiest bodice ripper ever.
Yep. 3 months after DA struck out with his sweatshirt, his older brother XA went to school in his Let's Go Brandon sweatshirt. It didn't go well either. On May 26, 2022, the principal had XA summoned to his office, where he ordered him to remove the sweatshirt slowly, allegedly telling him the school does not allow students to wear clothing with political speech. XA complied, but the brother's lawyers are now crying foul. Foul ball! Alleging the school district in fact allows political speech by letting students wear gay pride and LGBTQ t-shirts to school. XA's Let's Go Brandon sweatshirt did not disrupt class, cause a disturbance among students, or invade the rights of others, the lawsuit states. In a statement provided to the Free Press, the boy's mother, whose identity has been protected by the lawyers because she's ashamed of herself, expressed frustration with the school district. I didn't even know my kids were at school. I thought they were throwing rocks off the interstate in the overpass. I didn't know they were trying to get an education. That's not the way I raised these boys.
Get back out there with those big boulders.
Make them headlines, boys! Instead of allowing my sons to express their beliefs to their classmates, school officials punished them vigorously. Instead of seeing political sweatshirts as a potential conversation starter. Yes, because that's what you want in the 7th grade and 8th grade. A conversation that starts with, let's go Brandon. This will definitely end well. You know, often I wear my shirts to go, I wonder what Joe will say. And Joe never fails. Joe always has comments, none of which I care to hear, but they are certainly conversation starters nonetheless.
So you just confessed to you dress for Joe.
I most certainly do. Slowly.
Do a better job.
Doing the best I can.
Being allured.
Side note, you must be happy the pig and shit about the devil.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of your team, didn't they?
I'm not a Ranger fan. I don't really follow hockey. I'm technically an Islander fan. If that was the case, I got my ass handed to me over the weekend.
Yes. So, Joe, let's go back to, say, 2004. What's the matter? You don't like championships?
That was hysterical. That was so... we'll go into this, but all I hear is, oh, you don't like championships? I spit my fucking lunch out. Hysterical.
Instead of seeing political sweatshirts as a potential conversation starter between students, officials saw it as an opportunity to discriminate against opinions they didn't like, the mother said, adding, I am proud of my sons for standing up for their First Amendment rights and the rights of students everywhere. Is that what's going on? Was there a big outcry for this? Must have missed it. Lawyers for the brothers argue the students are protected by the 1969, excellent year, U.S. Supreme Court case of Tinker versus Des Moines Schools, in which the high court, which was high at the time because it was the 60s, upheld public students' First Amendment right to wear black armband to school protesting the Vietnam War. In that case, the Supreme Court stressed that students disagreeing with one another is not only an inevitable part of the process of attending school, it also is an important part of the educational process. Yes, but in 1969, students disagreeing with each other didn't end with gunplay. Just saying. It can hardly be argued that either students or teachers shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse, Gate, the court famously said. The school district's lawyer conceded that the Supreme Court has weighed in on this issue, but argues there is a long-standing history, post-Tinker, of courts allowing districts to prohibit vulgar and or profane language at school, even absent of showing a substantial disruption to the educational environment. The school lawyer cited a 1986 U.S. Supreme Court decision in which the high court held that a school district could prohibit speech or styles of expression related to, among other things, vulgarity or profanity without violating a student's First Amendment rights. She also cited numerous court cases in which courts have upheld a school district's decision to prohibit certain clothing, including in Ohio, a high school student was prohibited from wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt to school in 1997. Oh, well, he was a nice guy. He's not a rapist. Based on the ban's promotion of destructive conduct and demoralizing values that are contrary to the educational mission of the school, the the 6th U.S. District of a Court Appeals upheld the decision in 2001. In Virginia, a middle school student was suspended for one day for wearing a shirt that said, "Drugs suck." Why is that a problem? The students
suck.
Okay. The students sued, though a district court upheld the suspension in 1992. In Massachusetts, the students in 1994 challenged a school district's prohibition of two t-shirts, one stating, "See Dick Drink, See Dick Drive, See Dick Die, Don't Be a Dick." All right. And the other, "Co-ed Naked Band, Do It to the Rhythm." I remember those. And the FBI shirts, "Full Body Investigator," whatever the fuck that was, right?
Female body.
You're right. You were correct. A federal court held that school officials could regulate the speech. The lawyers in Western Michigan case argue the case reeks of political favoritism by the school district and the students' First Amendment rights are being trampled in the process. A public school district cannot censor speech just because it might cause someone to think about a swear word, Fitzpatrick argues. The lawsuit, which was filed on behalf of the K-12 students, because the kindergartners did not want to be left out on this, and the Tri-County School District seeks a court order blocking the school district ban on Let's Go Brandon apparel and a provision of its dress code banning students from wearing clothing which calls undue attention to the student. The Foundation for Individual Rights and Expressions was founded in 1999 to advocate for free speech on college campuses, a mission that has since broadened. While conservatives in recent years have argued that their voices are suppressed in academic settings, the organization considers itself nonpartisan, and legislative director recently criticized Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' effort to restrict curriculum. These students should not be allowed to should not only be allowed to express their political beliefs, but should be encouraged to do so, said Harrison Rosenthal, another attorney working on the case. America's students must be free to exercise their constitutional rights, not just learn about them. All right, so this was my blog. First off,
before you start your blog, yeah. I don't know if Joe's hearing this, but I'm hearing you starting to break up. It sounds like you're underwater. Joe, are you hearing that?
What, that dad was breaking up?
Oh, wait, both of you are.
That must be you.
And that's on your end, because I can hear Devin fine, I can hear you fine.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, it's me. All right, that's okay. I can make it out enough.
All right, well, we'll reset during the break, but...
Okay.
All right.
You know what? Look at the transcriptions. Can you see the live show? You can see the transcriptions on there.
That's what I'm doing, and you know what? Yeah. It's really hilariously wrong sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so as I was saying, this is my blog. To me, this is one of those stories where we have no heroes. There's really nobody who's in the right here. First, let's go to the parents, the mother. Really? This is what your kids have to wear? This is worth a lawsuit? This is worth all the tax dollars that it's going to cost to defend this shit? This is the hill you want to die on? And you're not starting political conversation. You're being an agitator. That's what you are. You know what you're doing. The kid wore it not once, but multiple times, and then the other kid wore it. You're just a bad parent. You're not teaching a lesson, except let's be litigious here. There's not a clamoring of people going, "We need to wear these Let's Go Brandon shirts." You're being a pain in the ass. Okay. Now the other side. Let's Go Brandon is not a curse. It's not. You're putting what we all know it to be in there. But in itself, Let's Go Brandon is not profane. Does that mean we can no longer use eggplants and home ec because we all know it to be the penis emoji? I mean, how long do you want to go down this lubed decline? I mean, it just gets to a point where it's a little ridiculous. I don't understand. Like, I grew up in the 80s. You guys grew up in the 70s. I grew up with possibly, at the time, the most popular president of the United States, Ronald Reagan. He won 49 states in his re-election. Nobody was wearing Reagan shirts. We were wearing, you know, at that time, we were wearing a lot of shirts to commemorate the redoing of the Statue of Liberty. They fixed that up. We were wearing a lot of stuff for the 1984 LA Olympics. Nobody was wearing political shit. Wearing this political stuff to school is a new thing. But here's the thing. We wore cool shit like bands, sports teams, designer clothing. Now, here's the thing. Joe Biden, Donald Trump, they're not cool. I don't care who you are. You might like them. You might hate them. They're not fucking cool. And Trumpsters, I know you think Trump's cool, but go take a look at the many videos of him trying to dance. Here, if you're watching, it goes a little something like this. Not fucking cool. I got my little two hands moving, little fist, biting my upper lip, barely moving.
Yeah, but still, if I'm remaking Saturday Night Fever, his phone isn't going to ring.
Right. But Trump is, I don't understand why everybody's wearing this political shit. And really, this is the Trumpsters. I don't even know what they're protesting. They're saying they're protesting Joe Biden. What are you protesting about him? That he's president? You don't think he was elected? Because your shirt is just fuck Joe Biden. It's not fuck a specific policy where Joe might have a shirt that said that if he was one to. They're just saying fuck the president. So you're not really having a conversation starter. You're trying to be an asshole. Now here's what I think the school should have done. I think the school should have let these kids wear the shirt. That being said, if it did cause a problem, if a kid did take offense to it, that's where I go, okay, you can't wear this shirt. It's causing a disruption. Oh, but my political free speech. Listen, I got a school to run. You can't wear the shirt. It's causing a problem. That's what I would have done. If it didn't cause a problem, I would let these kids wear the shirt. And this mother should be ashamed of herself for out of all the things to worry about in a school, this is what she's worried about. And she's going to waste taxpayers' money, school money that could be used to give her kids and every other kid a quality education. They're going to defend this lawsuit. So there are no heroes here, in my opinion.
Well, the way this plays out, basically the mother is a very, you know, a magna person. So good for her. But anyway, she's a
good for her. Joe gives her an atta girl.
And, you know, I mean, Let's Go Brandon for people, you know, on the right wing. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's fun to yell and stuff like that.
Hold on, let me stop you there. Is it? Is it?
It is.
No, it's not. Here's the thing. I get why kids would want to wear Let's Go Brandon, because it's kind of like, for like authority figures, it's kind of like when you scratch an itch with your middle finger. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
for...
Well, I'm not done yet. There's more to this to go.
I just don't see it being fun. I see it being juvenile when adults do it.
There's more of this to go.
All right.
Basically, it's fun. You know, a lot of us are dissatisfied with, you know, the policies of Joe Biden, the way the administration is carrying things out. So to say the Let's Go Brandon thing is a fun thing to do. Now, here's the deal, okay? Coming down to the school is a transparent code for using profanity against the president. The saying is not a secret. It is locked into our current pop culture that it's fuck Joe Biden. So with that, let's go to the district's policy on clothing. Now, let me tell you something. The district's policy on clothing is really no different than the Elwood School District's policy on clothing 42 years ago. So this is nothing outstanding or out of the normal. The district could similarly prohibit clothing that has an inherent intent to use profane language against another individual, as this would be contrary to the school's educational mission. They prohibit language on clothing that contains language that is offensive, vulgar, or profane. Now, in those three terms, that shirt can be viewed as offensive by certain people. It could be vulgar by some people, not so much vulgar, or profane in the simple fact that the word "Let's Go Brandon" means "fuck Joe Biden." It's in pop culture for the past, what, almost 2 years on that. So for that reason, they can't wear the shirt. Well, what about the LGBT, you know, LGBTQ people? They're wearing their shirt. Yeah, but they're not being profane or offensive of anything. They're celebrating what they are, you know, and they're not making a statement against anybody. They're just making a statement of something that they support. Whether I don't agree with the movement, they're not saying anything that would be offensive or, you know, or profane. Also, they bring up the Supreme Court case where the kids wore the black armbands to the school, and the school said you can't do that, and then the Supreme Court overturned that. The Supreme Court was absolutely right. An armband, a black armband, is silent display of a feeling that is not offensive, it is not vulgar, it is, you know, and it is something that would bring up discussion, but in a plain way that is non-offensive, okay? Now, when the mother goes, oh, well, you know, this is something that shirt will bring up, you know, some discussion. It's like saying your sister's a whore. If you wore it, your sister's a whore t-shirt, well, you saw that coming down the hall and going, you know what? She has been promiscuous. Maybe we'll have a discussion about this. No, it's offensive. It's offensive. So in this, the school is absolutely right in their decision. Thank you.
Oh, I didn't see you stepping down from the soapbox. I'm sorry.
Wow, so you and I actually disagree on this. What do you say, Pip?
Well, I think that the parents are really being disingenuous, saying, oh, well, we'll start discussion. They're junior high kids. If the kids are involved in this or care about this at all, it'll start arguments, not discussions. But, you know, so it is, like, I agree with you. The parents are kind of being douchey, saying, oh, yeah, well, we're going to stand our ground for this. And, like you said, cost the taxpayer money. I mean, we always stand for the First Amendment. Now, sometimes we disagree on what is a First Amendment issue. I think that in this case, it is a First Amendment issue because now we're discussing, are you allowed to have political commentary? We understand the subtext of the what, you know, Let's Go Brandon means. It's not literally saying it. It's kind of difficult to start banning things because of subtext when it's not actually the thing itself. It's not on its face vulgar or saying anything rude. It's we know what it implies. But it's not saying anything rude.
My thing is this, though. If it is accepted by pop culture as the saying, where everybody knows what it is, and it's an accepted thing in pop culture, and it's not going back 20, in the past, well, what, 2 years, do you feel that the school would fall under a vulgarity under the school's policy?
I think it goes back to what I said. If you're going to go that route, what happens if somebody wears an eggplant on their shirt? Or a peach, you know. We all know what that means in emoji world. But are these kids going to get banned for that? It's possible. I just don't know.
You know what? Pardon my ignorance. What does the eggplant mean?
It's a cock, stupid.
And what is the peach? Oh, I'm so stupid. Well, you'd be great in a cooking show. We're gonna whip out this cock. Oh, it's an eggplant.
We're gonna have cock parmesan, Joe. Would you like some?
And I'm assuming that. Peach, it means the potato?
No, the peach is the ass.
Oh, okay.
I believe. Yeah.
I was not sure about that myself. I was waiting for you to answer, to be honest, because I wasn't sure if it was ass
Let me tell you something, my friend. I guarantee the middle schoolers know what the eggplant and the peach and the water splash sign is way more than they know what Let's Go Brandon is.
Yep, yep. I guarantee they know, because that's like middle schooler humor. It's like, oh, look, it's a dick. I see the middle schooler humor in this, in that they're like, oh, I'm getting away with something naughty because
right.
my shirt doesn't say the word fuck, but I know everybody knows what I mean.
Right, which was to my point. Like, I get why kids would want to wear it. I don't understand adults who chant it out like you're fooling anybody, like you're naughty. Stop it. If you want to say it, say the real word. At least I respect you then. I mean, ooh, Let's Go Brandon. Ooh, we're getting away with something. Who? Are you going to have to stay after accounting? What are you talking about, stupid?
You're just having a little joke at the expense of something that wandered into the pop culture. That's it.
Yeah.
Fuck Joe Biden is too easy. Let's Go Brandon. It's like you're trying to be coy that you know.
But you're not. We all know what it means now. That's the thing. It wasn't like the first time when the first people started chanting it. That I get. When the first group of people started chanting it on TV, okay, whatever. Fine, you're actually being coy. You're actually pulling one over on us. When you're chanting it 2 years later, we get it, stupid. We know.
Yeah, but your argument is that it's hacky. Not that it's illegal.
I'm not being combative. I really want to dissect this.
Do you?
If it's like, we get it, we know what it means. Well, if we know what it means it's in pop culture, and it gives that connotation. And if you're wearing it in school, it would be more of that vulgar connotation that would be
I have to assume that middle schoolers don't know what it means until it causes a problem. That's what I said I would have done. If another middle schooler comes up to them and goes, listen, I don't like you saying that about the president, now we have a problem, and now I can tell the student, listen, you can't wear that. I can't have this in my school. It's causing problems. If there's no problem with it, nobody's arguing, it's not really profanity.
But as a school administrator, I would think that, you know me with stuff. I don't like anybody telling me what I can or can't do. Sometimes at school, it's their rules, their place. And I do feel if I was an administrator and I saw that shirt, it would be the connotations getting out of, like, look, you can't wear that shirt. I'm sorry.
Here's where the mother and this family really show their hand. The fact that they kept on doing it. Like, if you just would have worn it once and you really thought this was such an affront, okay. But no, you keep on doing this. Listen, you want to get on Fox News. You want to get on Newsmax. That's what you're doing here. You have an empty life. Your kids are empty vessels for whatever hostility you have. And that's what you're doing. This is your war, mama.
Political commentary always has been something that you could say. Look, when I was a kid, I had one of my favorite shirts. There was a picture of Archie Bunker, and it said Bunker 72, Chaos in 73. And it was, I love that shirt. People laugh.
That's a funny shirt. But here's the thing. Fuck Joe Biden is as much political commentary as if I said fuck Donald Trump. Let's pretend that Joe is making the case for Donald Trump. Joe lists all these reasons why Donald Trump is a good president. His policies are good for the country. Everything that Joe would say. And my retort is fuck Donald Trump. Am I really giving political commentary? Joe gave political commentary. I just burped out a response. A guttural primal response. I gave no commentary. See, it's not really commentary.
Yeah, but still, if it's if the kid wore a Biden, I'm sorry. If the kid wore a Trump 2024 shirt and he said take it off, now you got a problem.
That's yeah, I mean, listen, like I saw when I dropped my daughter off last year to school.
With a vulgar connotation on that. If the school policy says nothing that's vulgar, and it's something that is pop culture, that means fuck Joe Biden.
So let me ask you this. So Trump right now has a civil rape suit going on. Let's, it's not a criminal one because the statute of limitations passed. Let's say the civil suit, they say Donald Trump is a racist, just for the sake of this argument. If I wear a shirt that says Trump is a rapist, I mean, factually, I'm correct, at least by the court of law. Should I have to take that off?
You mean, is that vulgar?
It's not vulgar. It is a political commentary, but it certainly could be inflammatory, even though I am stating a fact by the court of law. Now, I'm not saying wear it today, because we don't know how the court's going to rule. But I'm going to say, but we say the court has decided that Donald Trump raped this woman, Jean Carroll, and it comes down, and that's on the record. Why can't I wear that shirt to school? Not that I would, but
I get it. It would be very interesting how that would play out, because basically you're stating a quote unquote, if that's the way you're stating a fact.
Yeah.
I don't know if having, and I'm talking about a school. I'm not talking about walking down the street in town.
No, you get punched in the nose for that.
Yeah, but I don't know in school if you had rapist on there, if it would go under vulgarity.
So what about this?
And you could say that's not vulgarity joke, but rape is such a lightning rod word. Matter of fact, sometimes I'll try to accent the bit where I'm getting screwed over. Like, I'll give you an example. I bought my new car. They charged me $4,000, and it's like, and they say, well, enjoy. It's like, saying, was the rape kit convenient? I'm trying to make a joke, but the word rape in there, and I've done it, I've done it, and I tried to use another thing. The word rape in there just sinks the whole fucking ship, where the connotation of what rape is.
Right, right.
Under vulgarity. So
But in your scenario, you were not literally raped or charged with rape by the people selling you the car. As you said to start it, we are, if he is, it gets charged, not charged, if he's found guilty of this, it is fact. I would think, and listen, we don't know, but I would think you should be, if you're going to allow political commentary in school, which I really don't think is the best thing to do, but if you are going to allow it in school, I would think you should be able to wear that shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's where it is, though. Middle schoolers, for the most part, unless you have some budding little journalist or, I'm really going way back, Alex Keaton from Family Ties, if you have somebody who is, really unnaturally interested in those sort of things at a young age, that's kind of few and far between. Most middle schoolers are not going to say, let's debate politics. The whole thing of I'm getting away with something naughty aspect, I get. It really, my interpretation is that these, like you said, these parents have an axe to grind. They decided it would be fun to send their kids to school wearing these shirts and see what happens. I have a hard time picturing that the kids went to some rally and said, you know what I need? I need one of those shirts.
No, I know.
You sell your choices.
I could much
rather. Aren't there a lot cooler things to wear?
No, I could imagine kids today getting like Make America Great Again hat or shirt or something with Trump on it. That I've seen that in high school. I could imagine that. The Let's Go Brandon, that is so specific,
Yeah.
Now let's go back to the question you posed before. Trump is a rapist. Do you think? And like I said, rape, even though it's stating a fact, but rape is such a trigger word. Do you think, the fear is if somebody saw rape, it would trigger somebody or somebody's feelings?
I think
that's somebody.
I think in that
instance, not a Trump supporter.
No.
Was sexually harassed or something like that, that it might trigger, trigger somebody.
I think in that particular instance, because it is being used correctly, it should be allowed. I'm not using it as a euphemism. I'm not using it as a metaphor. I am actually, in our scenario that we created, I am actually using it correctly.
But if some girl saw that was sexually harassed or raped and sees that and goes, and explain to her. But, you know, this is showing that, you know, Trump got, this woman got justice for Trump raping her. And this poor little girl go, well, I don't know if I ever will. And seeing that affects me. I'm having a problem with that. And like I said, because that's kind of a trigger word in that situation. If you reworded it, maybe it's not so bad. So, but just for the simple fact that rape or a rapist is in there, in a connotation of a school, I think that word is just too much of a trigger.
Well, but the problem is, Joe, penetrated forcibly without permission doesn't fit on a T-shirt.
Oh, it could.
Although, let's be honest.
You know what I'm going to tell you? If I was the principal, find a better tailor, okay?
Let's be honest.
Because rapists, I've got some, I've got some kids in the school that, that have been sexually assaulted that get that are triggered seeing the word rapist and feel that they may never have their chance. I have to deal with that. They've been down to the school psychologist. I've already had the guidance counselor in this morning.
I would allow it, but then again, I allowed these shirts. I don't know. Like I said, there's no heroes here. This really seems like a waste of money. This mother wants to make her and her boys to be some type of heroes, and I'm sure some on the right think that they're heroes, but they're not. They're just wasting everybody's time.
Obviously, this woman is from the MAGA contingent that feels that, her rights are being violated, that she can't, that she can't wear a Let's Go Brandon shirt. But you have to think and use your head, and it spells it out. And like I said, it spells it out in the school code. The school code has been, I've been out of school 43 fucking years. It was the same code that was in there when I was a kid. And I'm sorry, pop culture has deemed that phrase as fuck Joe Biden.
Listen, I don't like when parents use their kids to make political statements, left, right, or otherwise.
Right.
I'm not a fan of that. The fact that the first time maybe the kid wants to wear it to school, and then he gets sent home. The fact that he wore it again, and then the other kid, the mom is in on it, and that's just bad parenting.
Oh, it is bad parenting because look, you know the way I lean. If my kid was leaving to school, but then I'm like, take that off, get that off. Take the damn thing off. You're not making any sense with that. You want to wear it around and have fun, live, but you can't. That's not appropriate for school. I don't feel like getting a call at work about this shit. Take the damn shirt off.
Joe would say you can't wear it to school. Now on Sunday the family's coming over. I hope you wear it.
If you want to wear something offensive, put a Jets jersey on.
Well, there you go. Wow. All right, Joe, get your shots in now before we win the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you, so Rodgers, he's gonna break his femur the first fucking.
Shut up, you! I've thought of that. Shut up, you! Okay. Yeah, and trust me, now that Daniel Jones is signed long term, he's never going to be this good again either. Okay. Asshole. I've been thinking about that. All right, let's move on. See, that was offensive. All right. So, a bill was introduced to the New York City Council Thursday that would make parking fines proportional to income. The bill was introduced by Brooklyn Councilman Justin Brannon and would launch a pilot program to create means-based financial penalties for civil transgressions. Instead of bankrupting working people while winking at the rich by setting the same fines for everyone, fines should be high enough to discourage people from breaking laws that endanger or inconvenience our neighbors, but low enough that they don't arbitrarily upend anyone's life, Brannon said, according to the Daily News. Though Brannon specifically offered double parking as an example of the types of violations most suitable to the hypothetical program, a comprehensive list has not been offered. If successfully passed, New York City Office of Administrative Trials and Hearings would be responsible for determining the application of sliding scale fines. Why should the guy who double parked his 1988 Toyota pay the same as the guy with the 2024 Bentley, Brannon told the news. You know, as long as the cops are not the ones determining who gets what fines, like the downside of this is you're letting somebody into your tax records. That's what's going on here. They're getting access to your
Well, not only that, why they should pay the same, they broke the same law.
Yeah, but here's the problem. For somebody, it's the cost of doing business. It's not a big deal. For somebody else who's poor, like they said, it really messes things up.
Be accountable and be careful where you park.
But these laws are meant to discourage behavior. That's what they're meant to do. And if you can easily afford it, you're no longer discouraging bad behavior and you're double parking.
Same law
What?
Same law. It's the same law. It's the same price. Now, once you start doing that, it's gonna be everything else. You know, we're gonna put everybody in a class, and everybody's gonna start to get fined based on class, and it's just gonna separate everybody even more. You break the law. You don't park there. You break the law. It's the same fine. It shouldn't be assessed on class.
Yeah, but
that's
if I
government overreach.
But if I'm making $1.5 million, I can afford that $180 parking thing. Well, but if I'm making $21,000, I can't. So it's dissuading bad behavior by one group of people and not on another. So the law is ineffectual. But it's ineffectual. It's not, the law is not doing what it's intended to do. What do you think, Pip?
I think that this is a bad idea, making it to be based on income, because what your annual income is transitory. How much information are they going to have to figure out how much you're supposed to pay?
Well, your tax returns. That's
a problem.
You'd get it from the tax returns, you know?
Yeah, I know. But first of all, this is going to be a really cumbersome process.
Possibly.
In municipal courts and city courts. But also, I think that I'm kind of leaning with Joe that you're breaking the same law, it should be the same price. However, I don't think that the first offense for, you know, minor parking infractions and such should be so exorbitant that they're throwing people who are poor into a tailspin. That's kind of ridiculous. I think that they could investigate upping the fine based on how many times you have been charged with the same offense. If you're a scofflaw, we're gonna keep building up the amount of fines until you learn your lesson. How expensive is it? What is too expensive for you to double park or run a red light or so forth? You know, what is that going to cost you? But it shouldn't be exorbitant the first go.
And why
really
can't people
be.
Have accountability? I mean, shouldn't you think, if you think you can't afford the fine, shouldn't you think twice about before parking there?
Yeah, but the way New York parking signs are, if you've ever been, we've all been to New York City, there's five different signs on a telephone pole. You have no idea. I mean, really, you need a master's degree to figure out where the hell and when you could park
in
New York City.
I can afford that ticket, and I make damn sure that I can, you know, that I, you know, it's cool to park there. You know, I double check everything. I walk around. I can't afford it. See, I can't have my car towed. So I make damn well sure. It's called accountability to yourself.
Right, but the problem is already the wealthy are not accountable. We already have two justice systems in this country. If you can,
it's the same law.
No, but
I mean, if somebody kills somebody, should one get less time or more time because somebody's rich or poor?
Well, here's the thing.
Here's
the thing. If you have money and you break the, say you kill somebody, you're going to get one of the best lawyers in the country to get you off or get you less time. If you have no money, you're going to get... Hold on! Let me finish. Let me finish. If you don't have a lot of money, you're going to get a public defender who's overworked and is really not going to be able to defend you very well. So though the law is the same, we already have two justice systems.
Nice. Just don't do the crime.
I understand that. That would ultimately be the right thing. But we're assuming they've already done the crime.
Yeah. All right, then fine. It's the same fine for everybody. Because you know what's going to happen? People are going to get charged more. And you know what? It's happening already. Rich people are going to leave. They're going to leave. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to all these taxes and burdens are going to fall on the middle class like it always does. So just keep the fines the way they are. Stop this goody-two-shoe shit. And if you double park, you know what you're doing, you get a fine. End of story.
I don't know why it's goody-two-shoes stuff.
No, it's not.
I don't want to jump on your words, Joe, but I don't see that. Because the thing is that there is a disparity between the rich and the poor, and it's widened over the years because of the way legislation has been written over and over again to benefit the rich, because the rich people own the politicians, and the politicians are the rich people.
and they pay all the taxes, and they usually pay more than their fair share of everything.
No, they don't.
And they actually don't.
All the tax, they leave, they find loopholes, and it falls back on the middle class.
They actually don't, and the middle class is getting pounded all over again, because the thing is that the way the tax code has been changed over the years is more benefit to the rich. They're not paying their fair share like they used to. You have to look at the history of the tax code changes, and then you can see that they're not being taxed the same as the middle class and the poor, which get a poor tax because there are so many things in our system. I mean, we could be here for weeks discussing it, but there's so many things in our system that don't benefit the poor that really hit them hard. You know, if a rich person has to go to court for a day, they'll use one of their bountiful vacation or comp days. But a poor person loses a day's pay. That can make the difference of people not eating in their house.
I understand that, but wouldn't you have the common sense not to try to get themselves in that situation in the first place?
Yeah, but sometimes you make mistakes. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Well, then you made a mistake. You got to pay the price.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it should be more for rich people either, but I'm just saying that we do have to acknowledge that, in my answer, we do have to acknowledge that those kinds of fees and fines are really much more punitive on poor people than they are on the rich.
Well, that will get, and Davin said it's an incentive not to break the law. So if you know there's going to be a fine and you can't afford it, that's your incentive not to do it, right?
Right. But then you're saying there's no incentive for the people who can afford it not to break the law. That's my point. If the purpose of the law is...
They'll pay the fine.
Yeah. Right, but they can afford, you know...
If you've got a trucking company and you run into town, sometimes you got, you know, part of it is getting the tickets and paying it off. But you got to use your head. You got to use common sense. And we're getting into a situation in this country where we're just ass powdering people that break the law. No bail, no this. If you do something, you did it. You got to pay the price for it.
Nobody's saying you don't pay. No, that's not part of the argument.
And you should pay. Everybody should pay the same fine. It's the same law. It's the same law.
Yeah, but not. But we, as we've already established, the justice system is not the same for everybody. You don't all get the same attorney. It's just the reality of it.
It's not going to be the same for anybody now. If you're going to start messing with the fines, that's the fine. That's the deterrent. You know, if you can afford to pay the fine, then you can afford to pay the fine. All right. Sometimes it's the cost of doing business. If you're poor, you better. And I'm broke. I live paycheck to paycheck. I go into town to do a spot. I make damn well sure that I'm parking in a place where there's not going to be a problem. Sorry, if I fuck up, I got to pay the fine. But that's what makes you conscious of that.
It works for it's a deterrent for me.
Yeah.
I've probably passed up really good parking spaces because I wasn't sure.
Oh, I have. It's like just something doesn't look right. I can't afford to have my car towed. I can't afford to pay a fine. I'll have to figure something else out. And that's the way it is. It's called accountability.
Right, but the people who are wealthy are not being held accountable. That's the problem. That's the point of the law.
They broke the law. Of course they're being accountable. Here's the fine, you pay it. The poor person, all right, here's the same law. Here's the fine, you pay it.
Yeah, but only one of those people is going to...
It should not be distinguished regardless of what your wealth is, of what you pay for the fine.
I think this would actually be pretty popular if they did it. I think it would be pretty popular if they did it. I don't know if they will do it, but I could see people liking this. Because I think a lot of middle class and poor people think the rich people skate by, whether you disagree or don't. I think that's the sentiment.
Fine. I mean, they got the money to pay the fine. If you don't have the money to pay the fine, you think twice. You got to have accountability.
Well, like Pip said, the rich people are the ones writing the laws. So they're the ones who own the politicians. I don't know if they're really accountable when every law is written for them in their favor.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. If they, like you just said, if you can afford the fine, you know, you can pay it. But they're equal offenses. But you know, rich people
it's an equal fine. It's an equal offense. It's an equal fine.
I agree.
The fine's $350. You know, if it does, not a big deal for you. Well, good. Well, I'll keep doing it. Good. We'll keep taking your money. But the person that can't afford it, that's the fine, and they better think damn well twice and have accountability to what's going on. That's the problem. Like, there's no accountability lately for anything.
I don't love this law.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Middle class and poor people are accountable. If you can't pay your bills, they'll take your house. We've already seen Too Big to Fail and stuff like that many, many, many times. The banks, recently, although they're not bailing them out this time, but we bail them out. The airlines, we bail them out. You know, certain business, the oil companies, we subsidize them. We bail them out when they do badly. So it's not the same for everybody. That's my point, and I think that's the point of this.
When you're talking about an industry that would pretty much throw us into a depression. If he went out, the government has to step in. If you're talking about a $350 parking ticket on a sign that's clearly visible and you know it, you know what? It's the same fine for everybody.
But the problem is your accountability argument just went out the window. That's the problem. Because you just said, well, if we need you, I guess we'll bail you out. You don't have to be accountable. That's the problem.
Well, on that one, you got to take them to task. Sometimes we've learned and sometimes we haven't. But the bottom line is, you're talking about a parking ticket, and then you're talking about a business that thousands and thousands of lives are dependent on.
I understand, but your whole argument is accountability. That's been your whole argument.
I'm talking about an accountability on an individual. I am not talking about an accountability of an entity, which should be which should be regulated, which they don't do.
All right.
But there's a difference between an accountability of an individual and accountability of a bank.
Let me tell you something. There is nobody less accountable than Donald Trump. And I will tell you this why, and we know this. Donald Trump, his strategy has always been, way before now, but when he was a quote-unquote businessman, is he would sue you and keep on litigating because he knew people with less money couldn't afford that stuff, so they would take pennies on the dollar. So it's not equal justice. It's not equal accountability.
It's called business.
No, it wasn't business. It wasn't business. No. That's not business. That's using the money you have. That's what it is.
Okay.
All right. The MTA announced on Thursday that it will no longer provide real-time service alerts on Twitter since the platform began charging an exorbitant price for the integral feature that allows such posts. The decision came after the Elon Musk-owned company approached the cash-strapped transit agency asking for $50,000 a month to maintain access to Twitter's application programming interface, API system, an MTA official told the Post. The MTA has terminated posting service information to Twitter effective immediately as the reliability of the platform can no longer be guaranteed. MTA Acting Chief Customer Officer Shanifa Riera said on Thursday in a statement, the MTA does not pay tech platforms to publish service information, has built redundant tools that provide service alerts in real time. In the last 2 weeks, the MTA's access to Twitter's API system was involuntarily interrupted twice, on April 14th and again on Thursday. The API system allows multiple computer applications to work together, and when used by the MTA's Twitter account, it produces status updates on the city's subways and buses. Instead of Twitter, the MTA has several other platforms to use for sharing service updates. Excuse me, my voice. Those include MyMTA and Time and Train Time apps, the MTA's homepage at mta.info, email alerts, and text messages. Service alerts are available on thousands of screens and stations on trains and buses. Twitter responded to the post request for a comment with a poop emoji. Musk announced that Twitter planned to begin charging accounts for access. It was initially informed that paid service would take effect by the end of March. Last month, Wired reported that the cheapest tier of the company's plan, enterprise packages, was $42,000 per month, while the most expensive one was $210,000. So basically, the MTA decided it's a little too rich for their blood. I agree with the MTA. It seems like a waste of money.
Yeah, absolutely. And they got to really start thinking about cutting back when they're starting to raise, you want to raise tolls again. So bravo to the NTA actually taking a proactive step going, you want to know, we love squandering money, but fuck you.
Yeah.
I think Twitter is becoming increasingly irrelevant.
Yeah.
He's
murdering his own platform.
Yes. He is like, so many people have left there because of his blue check mark. I want you to pay for subscriptions. So many advertisers have left there because of some of the people he's let back on. And listen, Twitter's always been the least favorite of mine of the social media. I just don't think it's going to be that big that much longer. There's just better ways to communicate now.
By what method?
I think Instagram's more fun. I think people like Snapchat. I'm sure there's stuff out there that I don't know about. I mean, there's like Mastodon, which hasn't caught on, or Truth Social. But I just think it's Elon Musk has made it uncool. Like Twitter was like, I guess, cool. Elon Musk has ruined it with stupid shit like this.
It was certainly very popular and very useful for a lot of people, but because of the fluctuating rules and waves through it all the time now, and he's just, you know, I mean, it's been said before, he's a rich kid in his sandbox throwing sand around and, you know, building a castle and then knocking it down when it suits him, but it affects the lives of the whole world. It's like, must be nice to have that much money and that so little empathy.
Well, I don't think he has empathy. I mean, he tested that rocket that cost him several billion dollars. That the one stage did not disengage, but it was a test mission. So, oh, that failed. No, actually, they're looking into why it disengaged, but the thing wasn't meant to be in orbit that long. He wanted to see if he can get something that big.
That's fine. That's fine. But his Tesla stock shares are plummeting in value.
You also got to think about you know, why they're plummeting. Number one, he was pretty much one of the first in the game with it. The cars are expensive to begin with. Also, there's a lot more competition.
Right, and the cars aren't as efficient as some of the stuff out there. People, listen, I mean, a Tesla still looks cool as hell. Don't get me wrong, but as you said, there's competition. They're not making the money they used to make.
Called the free market system.
So that's fine.
He'll develop something else. Also, on this whole thing with what he's charging, yeah, it's an exorbitant fee. However, when you do something like this, a product or a service, okay, you launch it and you see who, you know, how it goes. You find out what the market would bear with it. You might go in and renegotiate it. What would it take for you to sign back on? What would you pick, you know, and you take it from there. You know, I go through it every day. I mean, some of the stuff that I have in the marketplace for what we're selling is too damn high, and we're not moving it. We're trying to figure out, working with the manufacturer on how to make it, you know, more popular. Because you want to know, there's a lot of other brands in there that are a lot cheaper than ours, and they're kicking our ass every day. And we went to market maybe too high in the product. So you figure it's business, you know. So, yes, I applaud the MTA because, like I said, they love squandering money, saying no deal on this. You can get an app. You can find it on an app. But, you know, with Elon Musk and the prices he's charging, if he finds out that not a lot of Fortune 500 companies or municipalities are buying in on this, they'll adjust the price and they'll see if they can make it competitive for them to come back in. So it's just business.
Elon Musk has made Twitter new Coke. All right, let's do some scam busters.
Who said that? Was that yours?
Yeah, I just said that just now. What?
That's great.
That's what he's done. He had Coke Classic, which everybody loved, and he got in there to a tinker and go, I'll fix this. And everybody's like, I don't like this anymore. I'm going to drink.
You want to know something? That's a guy, you know, that, look, Elon Musk is like the Thomas Edison of our time, a visionary, you know, on the things that he's done. He's
sure.
More extraordinary things in his lifetime than people have done in, you know.
Absolutely. But it doesn't mean he knows how to run a social media company.
It doesn't mean he's not an asshole.
I don't know if he's an asshole, but whatever. All right, let's do some.
I do.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Let's do some scam busters.
Scam busters.
All right, the Better Business Bureau is warning of a scam involving popular streaming devices such as Roku, Amazon Fire Sticks, and services like Netflix and YouTube TV. The Better Business Bureau said it has received an influx of reports regarding the scammers targeting victims through pop-ups in their on their smart TVs. Scammers can actually target victims through their devices via the internet. Paul Fleming explained, obviously smart TVs are no exception. The scammer typically prevents the user from logging into their streaming service through a pop-up which states there is a problem with either the streaming device or subscription. In order to rectify the supposed issue, the pop-up provides the user with a phone number to call or a website to visit. Users who call the number are quickly connected with a scammer posing as customer service representative. The representative explains that in order to regain access to the streaming service or device, the user must pay an activation fee or grant the scammer remote control of their smart TV. The scammers can also gain access to smart TVs when users click on the links provided in the pop-ups. Once in control, scammers can install malware on the device and collect sensitive personal information. The Better Business Bureau said in one instance, scammers convinced a user to pay them in gift cards to add anti-hacking protection. Well, I don't know why you're laughing.
No, it's just, how many times, like the electric company, yeah, you know what, you know what, you missed the car, you don't have to send in the debit thing, why don't you send in some gift cards?
It does
like
seem...
Applebee's, all right, you know...
It does seem ridiculous, but, you know, whatever. You don't want to fall for this. Duh. It's very easy to want to get your device working, and that instant satisfaction of thinking it's going to be resolved leaves you a perfect target for these scam artists. So double-check any fees before you pay any fee, including activation, antivirus protection fee. The Better Business Bureau recommends doing some research first. Watch for fake websites, which we've talked about, like they're off just by a letter or two. Check out before you call. Yeah, like before you call their customer service number, go online and find out what the real customer service number is. And don't give anyone your remote control of your device, especially your wife. anyone? So, yeah. All right. I had not heard of this before, but I guess it makes sense that it's out there.
Sure. Yeah. They'll try anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you're not, and like I said, that sometimes you see things or an email or whatever, and, you know, because we've been doing this for years, you're like, oh, boy, that's fake, so fake. But it looks damn real. And you got to, and sometimes you have to take a second look at it and go, yeah, that's an, you know. But if you don't done the stuff that we've done, you know, and have all this insight, you go right in.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny to me, but it's also kind of annoying that at my day program, occasionally they'll send a, you know, we'll get a company-wide email or whatever saying, be careful of this scam or watch out for this or that. And I have to bite my tongue. Get out of my gym!
At my day program, two people got fired because they fell for a scam, gave some information out, and it cost our vendor like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
No.
And what happened was there was a notification it was a scam or something. And they didn't act on it, and one of our vendors lost thousands and thousands of dollars.
I hope you were there to shake your finger at them and give them a dismayed look and said, don't you listen to the show?
yeah, right? Yeah, and sometimes a friend of mine, I've been on the phone with a mom, couple of times telling her, look, this is a scam. You don't call them back. But it seems it's not. It's a scam. Trust me on this. I'm on a show that does this stuff. You know?
Yeah.
So if you're not in tune as we are, you know, it's especially like, you know, if you're watching, you know, you want to watch your favorite programs coming on. You can't see, but looking forward to it, blah, blah, blah. And this is coming on. I just want to get the show back on. But, oh, good, here's a number. I'll call. All right, people are ripe for the on this scam. People are ripe for the picking. You got
to
be careful.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do. People are stupid.
In the evolution of mankind, one thing will always stay the same. People are stupid.
All right. A Florida state representative was hilariously duped into reading the names Anita Dick and Holden Hiscock into the recording during committee meeting this week. Republican Will Robinson Jr., because Sr. wouldn't have fallen for this nonsense, who represents Florida House District 71, read a list of people into the record aloud, including the dirty fake names, during the House Civil Justice Subcommittee meeting on Monday. According to Insider, Anita Dick, he reads, pausing, looking around as a woman next to him holds up her hand to her mouth. Is an opponent waves opposition, he finishes. Holden Hiscock is also an opponent. He continued seemingly unaware of the euphemisms, waves in his opposition. After the video of the gaffe circulated on social media, Robinson invited Mrs. Dick and Mr. Hiscock to stop up to the next meeting. Committee does meet again next week. Anita and Holden, please stop by, he tweeted in response to the clip and the facepalm emoji. Many users wondered how the name snuck in there. Did Bart Simpson also testify? One user quipped. This is forever. All right. I think he handled it well. You know.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
I think it's just you know it's funny. Unfortunately, you probably heard the story. Unfortunately, an airliner crashed in San Francisco about 7 or 8 years ago, and they said these names, and they go live on the air, and they go, apparently the flight crew was named Wee Too Low, Holy Fook, and Bing Dang Ow.
And no.
You never saw that video?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the problem, Joe. If you saw the video, why didn't you bring it to the show if it was 8 years ago?
Everybody knew about it. Maybe we even discussed it. We might have discussed it. It was a newscast. Whoever put the names in there fired. But the newscaster comes out. It was this woman all there. And apparently the crew was Wee Too Low, Holy Fook, and Bing Ding Ow. Yeah.
It's
totally
like
serious, totally in the moment, having no clue what in the hell they're reading.
I could see falling for that. You know, you're just reading the stuff. You don't process it. I can't tell.
Yeah, but after Wee Too Low, maybe you want to take a second glance, even if you are alive, even if it's dark. Yeah.
No, I was talking about this guy from Florida. I wasn't talking about Wee Too Low. All right.
I don't know. I was once a substitute teacher. You get to learning to read the attendance sheet that the kids fill out pretty quickly ahead of what you're about to say.
There's assholes working out there. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you're not expecting that in his position.
No, I guess they're not expecting that, but it's pretty funny that after at least say it once or twice he didn't catch on. But he was such a good sport about it.
Yeah, he handled it
well.
We had a customer at work that their last name was Lecoq.
Lecoq. There was a baseball player on the Kansas City Royals back in the day. His name was Pete Lecoq. There was also a player on the White Sox called Rusty Kuntz, spelled Kuntz.
There also was a NASCAR racer called Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle, yep.
Yeah. I knew a guy named Richard Burns.
Dick Burns? Is Dick Burns here?
He used to call in to my day program years ago, and I'd answer the phone, and I'd put him on hold, and I'd say to my boss, who's the call was for, I was like, It's Richard Burns telling me he needs some ointment. And she's like, stop, I gotta talk to him in a second.
Dick Burns. Burns.
All right. Great.
All right. Let's take our final break. We'll come back. We'll do some Scamming Scammers. On the break, we got new music from In Karma and Dan Kurz with Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's a dance cover of the Nirvana classic, so you might enjoy that.
Wow.
Or you might not.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Pip looks concerned.
I am concerned.
I'm intrigued.
Well, You can both stick around for it. And Kasba Hauser with Good Vibrations. You can learn more about both those artists at khb-music.de. When we come back, Mary, quite contrary. Give me my gas money or I'm going to fuck a guy named Barry. All right. We'll do that when we come back. Yep.